Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
LeBron and Kyrie keep doing things. Lead people to believe a reunion is in the works. Kyrie recently called LeBron to apologize for how he left Cleveland, and then LeBron posted a video of himself on Instagram singing Fetty Wap's song Rewind, and he just happened to tag Kyrie in the post. So, Shannon, what do you make of all this?
I don't make anything out of it.
I don't.
I think... I don't look at this as a reunited, this like Peaches and Herb moment, reunited and it feels so good. I don't think that's going to happen. I think a lot of people, you know, Skip, sometimes you get, you know how you break up, I know you never had this happen, but sometimes you break up with your...
How do you know that?
Let me finish. Sometimes you break up, your girlfriend, you and her break up. And after like a year or something, she calls you out of the blue. The first thing go through your mind, we getting back together. No, you're not. She just wanted to ask you a question, see how you were doing. That's it.
Doubtful.
Yeah.
Have you had that happen?
I've had that happen.
I'm hypothetical.
No. Really?
Yeah, how you do it. You know how I do it.
You see me every day on Skippy.
That's what they mean. How you doing? I hadn't seen or heard from you in a while. You see me every day on Skippy and Shanna. That's how I do it. How you do it. But anyway, as I was saying, Skip Bayless, I understand that Kyrie reached out to LeBron and apologized for the way he handled some situations because he's probably going through a similar situation, him being the leader and the young guys are not understanding or not trying to understand what he's trying to convey. But I think it's a stretch to think that because Kyrie reached out, that now we automatically start to try to put two and two together and says, okay, man, they about linked back up in L.A. I don't see that happening, Skip Bayless. Maybe that was a song that they played when they were in Cleveland together.
Maybe.
You know, Fetty Wap had it going on
for
a sec. But I don't see it. You don't see it either because you tell me every day, every time it come up, that Kyrie was just tired of it. He couldn't deal with it anymore. And he just wanted to be gone. Now he's gone, and now he want to come back. So I don't think it. I think LeBron is like, LeBron loves his music. And I just think he's tired. He's tired of rehabbing, and he had some time on his hand. He said, you know what? Let me get the internet buzzing.
Tag
Kyrie, and boom, here we go.
So if LeBron had a history of parody posts, you know, where he had, like, he was always sarcastic, poking fun, or having fun with so-and-so, or just trying to, even if he was trying to show up Kyrie some way.
I would
roll with everything you just said, but he doesn't have a history of this. When he posts, it's for real. He's usually passive aggressively trying to make a statement about something. This wasn't even passive aggressive.
He tagged
him. This was just blatant, man. He tagged him across the top, man. This is like, this.
So are you trying to say LeBron tampering?
No, he's not tampering. It's just a pathetically desperate public plea.
Oh, my God.
Please come back, Kyrie.
See, there you go. See,
I miss my closer. I need my closer. And if LeBron happened to watch, and I'll bet if I know LeBron, he did watch Saturday night. Boy, Kyrie was close, and he couldn't close it all the way, but he hit three big late shots against Golden State. Till finally Steph and Clay were all over him, and he missed everything from the baseline late in that game. But if they had just boxed out correctly and gotten Draymond's second free throw miss, Kyrie would have gotten the last shot, and I wouldn't bet against him making that shot.
Oh, he was special Saturday night.
He was special.
But I don't think, look, like you said, there's a reason why LeBron is – it's hard for me to imagine there's a more well-known athlete than LeBron, and he moves the needle. Advertisers, agencies, endorser, product, they know that. So when he tweets something or he speaks something, earth moves.
Yeah, it did. And I believe it was legitimate. Please come back.
See, it can't be, you know, it'd be really nice if Kyrie and I got back together. See, he had to take it a step further. Oh, he out there begging. He out there, please come back, Kyrie.
Sure looked like it to me.
LeBron James don't strike me as no Keith Sweat type.
No?
Yeah, he ain't no beg.
He's singing to him. He's trying to serenade
that's
Kyrie.
Song. That's old Fetty. Yeah. Fetty really? Wap was. That's Fetty's really? Song.
Well, I know what it is, but LeBron adopted it, and he was flat out singing it in the backseat.
So in other right? words, LeBron is begging.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
It was pathetically begging. That's just desperate.
I watched it, and I was like, oh, interesting. LeBron, a little desperate here. Looking for a new friend. I can't even believe.
You know what?
That's what I thought right when I watched it.
Midwest Molly over here.
That would be the reaction of most people.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Because she's not completely immersed in this, and she just from a distance, she's just looking at like, he's begging. That's what.
Oh, that's what you look at again.
Back.
Oh, that's what you look at again.
It's not that hard to figure out.
He's begging, Shannon.
He's not begging.
You got accepted.
Okay, Skip, let's be all the way 100.
Yeah, LeBron, I just watched.
Did LeBron strike you as a tactic that be begging?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
In the last 16 years, everything that LeBron wanted, he's worked for and has been placed at his feet. Why that man got to beg?
Well, I've told you before, would he take Kyrie back if Kyrie wanted to come back? Yes!
Skip!
Okay, I just don't think Kyrie would ever want to come back. He was done with it. And I told you, he used LeBron to send a message back to his team in Boston.
Hell, I mean, Nicole Murphy broke up with me. I'd take her back tomorrow.
You would?
Yeah, I would.
Well, that's a hypothetical.
Okay, then. See, we do a hypothetical.
Yeah. Skip, good to know.
Why you got to take it that far? I'm just making it up. I don't want people to talk about Shadow Sharp and Nicole Murphy. We were just friends. We casually talked. But anyway, as I was saying before, I was so rude.
You offered this information.
No, Skip be harassing me. I'm tired of you putting this narrative out here that LeBron James is begging.
Well, how did it come off? So, look, this is what I tweeted instantly when I saw it, whatever
stay
night
off,
it was.
Stay off social media.
Huh?
Stay off.
I can't help. Somebody sent it to me.
Hey, nobody sent it. How you get it? I thought you ain't follow nobody. What
did
they send
you
stuff
up? Somebody sent it. I liked it, yeah.
You know who did? Our man Michael Rappaport sent it to me. I'm not calling him out or divulging. He just sent it to me because he saw it.
Michael's
like,
a hater. You know that he's the chief LeBron hater.
I looked at it and I was like, what? And you know what my first thought was? And I tweeted this. Somewhere, Michael Jordan is shaking his head because this is so beneath LeBron James.
Let me tell you when Michael Jordan was shaking his head. Yeah. When he saw that pep rally yesterday, he's like, I cannot believe they got Tom Brady up on the stage talking about we're still here. That's what Michael Jordan is up in arms about.
Okay, Michael Jordan did not play in the National Football League, but he did play in the NBA. And so does the guy who tries to say that he's Michael Jordan, that he's better than Michael
Jordan. No, there are a lot of people that said that.
Oh, no, not a lot of people.
A lot of people.
He said that. No, he did. And so somewhere, Michael was chortling.
Hold on, talk about Skip, baby.
Hold on,
Jenny, just for a second. Now, last week it was reported that Tom Brady walked into the locker room and said, I'm the baddest mofo on the planet. You had no problem with that. But when old Goat James walked into somewhere or sit down and did an interview, I think it was him, Maverick, Rich Paul, Mav Carter, and Mims. Mm-hmm. They all sitting around. He said, I'm the GOAT. He said, I'm GOAT. I'm GOAT James.
But you know what he used for what proved it was that they came back from 3-1 down, right? That cinched it right there that I'm the GOAT.
Yeah.
And yet Draymond got suspended, then Kyrie hit the last shot that closed
Whoa. John Paxson hit a last shot.
Okay.
And won an NBA title. Steve Kerr hit a last shot that won an NBA title.
Place
nobody take
called.
No. That play wasn't
LeBron
called.
Was just, first of all, I'm out of the way, you do it.
First of all, there was no timeout call. So that play for the John Paxson was not called. Horace Grant got the ball, and he kicked it out to John Paxson. So there was no play called. Thank you very much before I was so.
But it wasn't like it was game 7. This is game 7.
I don't care if it was game 2.
It was game like Didn't 5,
it. It
right?
It was game 6.
Yeah. I think it was
they
game.
They won. Uh-huh. They won. That was against Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
As I was saying, see, but you need to stop this notion that LeBron James, would LeBron love to have Kyrie back? Sure, Skip. But I believe Kyrie is happy where he is. Mm-hmm. Kyrie wants the opportunity, to lead a team. Mm-hmm. And he knows if he goes back to LeBron, the opportunity that he wants to be at the forefront of leading a team is not going to be there.
Okay, so why would LeBron post this? Is he that desperate for clicks? Really?
No, you don't get clicks on IG.
Well, I know, but I'm doing figurative clicks. No. Views,
yeah, the man
right?
He got 46 million followers.
Okay, well.
I told him to send the boy a couple of them.
You know what they say about money? Nobody ever has enough money.
No, he doesn't have enough followers, right? No.
Huh?
Your followers are getting up there.
I'm going to use that momentum. Gaining.
You're close.
Well, I got it. About to get a meal. Really? I'm going to catch you, too. I'm going to catch you on Twitter, though.
Well, that hasn't come close to happening.
It's going
to
happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. Okay. I think you bought a couple of those things.
I bought none of them. I'm going to have my people.
I'm going to have my people look into it.
How many did you buy on IG?
I ain't bought none.
Yeah, okay.
Well. They love on Unk. They love Unk. Yes. Yes. I'm about to get invited to all the cookouts. Say, Unk, you come up, pull up anytime.
Really?
Yes. Huh. They say, you can't come.
Really?
And Jenny, you already know Jenny bringing casserole, so she's not invited.
Yeah, I'm a good guest.
No, you bringing casseroles. Mm. And you cannot come to the cookout with a casserole.
Really?
That's not no.
Really?
No green bean casserole, no macaroni casserole, no broccoli casserole.
I'll remember that.
No.
Okay, fine. Hopefully I'll
Skip, we'll let you come. I mean, you know, you gotta bring some yak or something though, Skip. You just can't roll up, bounce up in there.
Hey, if I came, you'd have to sell tickets.
You'd be in trouble. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I ain't going there because, you know, you ain't going to want to drink.
Yeah.
I mean, you ain't going to be no swearing because, you know, when you go to the cookout, all the...
Yeah.
Bets are off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds like a party.
I get to be up for real.
Okay. I hope we see that one day. No mercy.
Hey everyone, Jenny Taft here, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. If you like what you hear, then you should subscribe to the First Things First podcast featuring Chris Carter, Nick Wright, and Jenna Wolf. The First Things First pod breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports, so if you like the NFL, NBA, college sports, then you're going to like this podcast, the First Things First podcast. The First Things First podcast drops Monday through Friday with a special weekend edition as well. And be sure to catch the show live on TV before us every weekday at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. Now, back to our show. No
mercy. So check out these crazy numbers. Tom Brady is about to play in his 9th Super Bowl, and he's trying to win his 6th championship. Here's another number, 41, as in Brady's age. He has already said he wants to play until his mid-40s, and that didn't change when he was asked about retirement this weekend. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about it.
Is there any chance that this is your last game? Zero.
Zero.
Say it. I don't want to just say it.
There's zero. Yeah. Okay. There's zero. I've said that for a long time. I feel like I'm asked that a lot, and I feel like I repeat the same answer. I've set a goal for myself at 45, and like I said before, it's very hard to make it that far. I know how hard it was this year, you know, and the commitment it takes, and hopefully I've learned from some of the things that happened this year to be better next year.
And take a look at what Rams corner Nickell Robey-Coleman said about Brady. He will slowly start to reveal himself. Age has definitely taken a toll. I think that he's definitely not the same quarterback he was. He still can sling it, but he's not slinging it as much. Whatever he was doing because of his age and all that, he's not doing as much of that anymore. Mm. He's still doing the same things. Mm. He's just not doing as much of it. And sometimes it's not the sharpest. Mm. He has a lot to say. We are joined by Fox NFL analyst Greg Jennings. Oof. Good to have you with us this morning. But first, Skip. Mm.
Yeah.
So, you think Brady's going to play until 45?
I definitely believe he will play until he's 45. And a quick thought on Robey-Coleman.
What do you think of it?
Isn't he the guy who's luckiest to even be playing in the Super Bowl? Isn't he the guy who made the all-time blunder that should have been called?
Yeah.
And he was taken off the hook by 3 referees who decided not to pull their flags. And he dares to call out Thomas, Edward, Patrick, Brady, the one man in sports you do not bet against and you do not call out. I keep telling you that, and you won't buy it. You
call
won't
him
listen.
Out.
Yeah, call him out. Here we go. You know, this is the guy who has told you from the start, I'm going to play until I'm 45. I got to knock on wood because this is obviously barring career-threatening or ending injury, which obviously could happen on any given play. I'm knocking on wood again. But barring that, he will play until he's 45, and he will be driven by you and Eric Dickerson. I'm not sure about you. We'll see where you stand after this topic is over. But he loves to hear you scoff at him and dismiss him and disrespect him. Because you fuel him. And in the end, you keep trying to impose your rules on him, your career ceiling on him. Greg played until you were 32-ish, right? 32, mm-hmm. 35 here. Mm-hmm. And he's saying 45, and you say, you can't do that. It's not feasible. It's just not possible. And he's saying, watch me. I'm going to shatter the mold. I'm going to play far longer than anybody has played because I've figured out how to even get better. We just saw 2 games, Chargers, Chiefs, in which I've never seen him better than in those two games. And after the Chiefs game, I don't think I've ever seen him have any more fun than he was having on that football field in overtime and soon after celebrating with his teammates. So what can he do in life to replace that? Well, it's impossible. You just can't. It's fun. You've won three of them. You won one of them. You know that euphoric feeling that you experienced. Mm-hmm. Well, he's experienced it five times, and he's got a shot at six times to experience it. And knowing him, he'll have a seventh and an eighth shot before this is all over. So I fully, completely expect him to play until he's 45. And I say God bless Roby Coleman, because that's the exact thing that he needed to motivate him further for this Super Bowl.
Yeah, Edelman might catch 25 passes.
He might.
I don't believe he will, Skip. I thought he was going to be gone. If they'd have kept Garoppolo, I believe he would have been gone then. But since that didn't happen, they got rid of Garoppolo, cleared the decks for Tom. I'm going to stick with it. I believe 20 years will be his last in New England. Now, he might choose to go elsewhere, and we've seen some of the other greats.
So you're saying next year, last year?
Last year. Okay. Next year is his last year. But say that with a caveat. Well, if they're going to run the ball and protect him like they did the last two games, well, he might play till he's 50. But Skip, we haven't seen them run the ball like this in 16 games. We haven't seen this offensive line protect him. Although he was the third least sacked quarterback in all of football, he took some shots in some games, and he didn't look the same. So, as great as he looked in these final two games in the playoffs, with one to come, Tom didn't look like that a lot during the regular season. This is not, I'm not making this up. He didn't. Mm. He didn't look like this against Detroit. He didn't look like this against
Titans.
The Titans. Mm-hmm. He didn't look like this against Jacksonville.
How did he look against Patrick Mahomes? Just asking.
Okay.
How do you look against Aaron Rodgers? I'm just asking. Cousins?
There were other games in which you didn't look like this.
True. Yeah.
So, with that being said, I'm going to stick to my, I'm going to say 2020. Mm. He plays 20 seasons. It can go quick, Skip, because if you remember, Peyton Manning, his second to last year, he threw for 39 touchdowns, one behind Andrew Luck, who threw for 40. And the next year, he stepped off a cliff. Now, he ended up, he was on fumes. And just as the fumes ran out, he crossed the finish line with a Super Bowl 50. Mm. That was it.
Does Tom Brady look like he's on fumes to you? I'm just asking.
Peyton Manning didn't look like he was on fumes when he threw 39 touchdowns, did he, Greg?
He didn't. Right. However, and I've compared him to Peyton, and I'm done doing that because he's not Peyton. He will play till he's 45. he will flat out play till he's 45, and he said why. I have a goal. Mm-hmm. Stop asking me.
Yep.
Tell me a player in sports that is more purpose-driven and intentional about a goal. None. This is why he's where he's at. Then you look at Tom Brady. He's never experienced losing. Why would he hang it up? And I don't think there's no way he's not playing for New England. They don't have the Steve Young. They don't have the Aaron Rodgers. They don't have the Andrew Luck draft pick that they see in the foreseen future right now that's going to replace him. They don't have these things in place. They did.
Right.
They thought they, but they don't have it any longer. So there's no reason for him to walk away right now. He's missed in his career two postseasons. Two. One because he was injured in 2008.
Yep.
Speaking of injury, how many times has he been injured? Once. Mm-hmm. 2008. Mm-hmm. And we continue to compare him to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning had a serious neck injury
probably shouldn't
have come back from it. And so we look at Tom Brady. He's always been healthy. They've always protected him. Is he going to take hits? Absolutely. One thing I'm starting to understand about Tom Brady is if we just listen to him, we would learn a lot. Because he said in that interview, this year, it was a rough year. It was growing pains. And hopefully next year, I will learn from this year. Hopefully next year I will learn from the mistakes I made this year and the things that I had to, the hurdles that I had to overcome this year. That's one thing about Tom Brady that I think we discount. Every single year, he's intentional about looking at the previous year and being better.
He is.
And being better not only for himself, but for his team. One last thing. He said he's playing until he's 45. Giselle knows that he's playing until he's 45. I think after that, then he might be in trouble with home. Up until that point, I think she's giving him the leeway and the okay. You know what? He's going to play till he's 45.
Yeah, I'm done talking about it because you ain't listening to me no more anymore.
No, no.
All it does is start an argument. We don't argue about anything except when you're coming home. So I'm going to leave you alone.
Yeah. Mm.
Go ahead.
So all he needs is for one Nickell Robey Coleman to say what he said.
I didn't even say
that. You want to talk about starting the bonfire inside Tom Brady? Because he said all the things that you said during the year at various points when you had a case.
Yeah.
You could say, gee, I'm seeing that. But I kept telling you, well, I don't see that. I don't see drop in velocity or accuracy. You said he was flinching, ducking in the pocket, losing a little bit of nerve. And I'm sure if you look at all the game tape in order, mm-hmm. that he's looking at it saying, he's not who he used to be. Well, you better not dare that devil, man, because he's going to say, I don't remember what number he wears, but he's just going to remember whatever
23,
number.
23, isn't he?
Is he 23? Mm. Maybe.
I can't remember.
Oh, no. Tom knows what number he is.
Yeah. Oh, he'll know. And he'll only know 23. He'll only know whatever the number is. And he's going to be looking for him.
What are you supposed to do? You don't sneak up on nobody. I mean, look, we here. You playing the Rams. So what? Let me ask you a question. If I didn't say nothing, Tom, we're going to try to light me up?
No, Stanley, come on now. Come on. Now, you know better. You don't give. Both teams are here. Both teams understand why they've gotten here. We haven't heard this out of Nickell Robey all year.
No. Mm-mm.
What are you doing? What are you? Number one, pay attention
to
what's
all
on
people.
Pay attention to what's going to be in front of you all week.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to worry about Tom Brady. You worry about 11. You worry about that guy.
You got your hands full with him.
Like, well, don't worry about slot corner, I think.
Yeah.
Don't worry about nobody else but Julian Edelman. That's mm-hmm. your focus. And you have to understand, this is why the Patriots are so great when it matters. They know when to mute themselves in the media. Mm. They know how to approach games like this. And teams, this is when they start to have advantages. And I'm not one to say that teams who haven't been there and haven't had experience don't have advantage or disadvantage. Mm. But the disadvantage comes when you're asked questions like this and you don't know how to respond. Just give the man credit, know what you feel, and go about your business.
Mm.
So true.
And yet, Shannon Sharp.
Yes.
I've told you all year that he's come the close. I don't think you can master the art of playing quarterback because it's just the hardest position to play in sports. And it's just such a dynamic where it's just ever changing. Defenses are figuring new ways to beat you, new ways to get to you. And yet, in these two playoff games, he came the closest to mastering the art of playing quarterback, which also involves and entails getting rid of the ball very quickly. Mm-hmm. 2.18 seconds, the ball has been gone in the two playoff games. It's just hard to get to him.
Oh, you're not getting there.
It's why Joey Bosa finally he was just gassed in the fourth quarter and turned to him and said, quit throwing it so fast. Because it's so fast, he just wears out a pass rush because you just fight your behind off to get to him again and again and again, and the ball's gone. And he's processing so quickly, he's making correct reads, speed reading.
Yeah.
And so the ball's gone to the right receiver and hitting him in the hands. Well, it's hard to rush that. You can't stymie that with a pass rush because you're not going to get to him.
Well, the only thing you must take away is first option. And normally, I believe 80% of the time, Julian Edelman is his first option. Because he's the closest to him. He's going to run the shallow cross, or he's going to run the option route, the whip. You know, he starts in and goes back, or he's going to run the Zorro. He starts and then takes off again. So I believe you must start by taking him away.
Okay.
And so if you take him away, that's your 2.1. Now he brings it down. Mm-hmm. Now that's when
got a shot.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's when Brockers are going to have to earn their pay. Because Wade said it best. At this juncture of his career, the guy's played 19 years. He's seen every coverage and where you're going to start from. At some point in time, it comes down, can we outplay this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to.
Yes. And to your point, I think that when you're approaching this game as the Rams, you have to make the Patriots one-dimensional. And this may sound crazy. You got to make Tom Brady beat you. You cannot allow them to run the football and Tom Brady have the opportunity to beat you too.
Because you'd never beat him.
If he can run the football and we know what he can do. Mm. So allow him. It's like playing Michael Jordan. Teams understood, okay, we got to take away everybody else. Jordan is going to be Jordan. He's going to get what he gets. Tom Brady is going to do what he does. But you cannot let this running game, this offensive line, get into rhythm and then sustain and control the
seven-minute, eight-minute
You
drive.
Cannot do that if you're the Los Angeles Rams and think you're going to win.
Tom Brady no longer has Brandon Cooks because he's now a Ram because his coach, Bill Belichick, traded away Brandon Cooks, right? So he has nobody who can run by anybody on in the Rams secondary, well,
that's
all
not,
right?
That's not how they play. Yep. They don't look to run by you. Mm-hmm. They just look to third down here, first down, third down there, first down. That's what gets you frustrated because all you can hope for is to get the third down.
Yeah.
And now we get the third down and we can't get off the field.
Well, you would think you would just put the clamps on everybody across the board. You'd play press man, right?
Well, they played 22-man a lot, and somehow all they did was flip the formation, run the exact same play, put Julian Edelman in green.
Yeah.
Bob Sutton, I hope you'll land on your feet and get another job.
Yeah.
But that was a horrible defensive scheme.
Greg, good to have you. Thank you for joining us today.
No mercy.
The Saints, the NFC Championship game was over a week ago, but the Saints and their fans are still very upset. Cam Jordan sent a clear message about the non-pass interference call by wearing a shirt to the Pro Bowl yesterday that said, "Blow whistles, not games."
Oof.
Adding even more fuel to the fire, there is growing concern that the NFL allowed four game officials who live in Southern California to work the game, and those same officials were shown to be the most responsible for the no call. The league has reportedly told the Saints that they, quote, effed up. Skip, how much worse is this situation now?
Shannon Sharp, I'm going to say this again. I am speaking from a position of deep love for the National Football League. I love me some NFL, and I have for about 40 years covering it. I love me some Super Bowl. And this is just so wrong. It feels so bad, and it feels so utterly avoidable that I can't help but say that the worst blown call in the history of sports just somehow got worse. Just when I thought the National Football League couldn't let it get any worse, it looks even worse. And you and I both know the NFL lives for its image. Image is everything to the National Football League. And the optics here look worse than ever, given what ESPN just reported, because it further taints the Super Bowl. So ESPN quotes an officiating source as saying, "The NFL put itself in a bad situation. This one slipped through the cracks, and did it ever, because we've seen in the past that the NFL went way out of its way to avoid even the hint of impropriety with any of its referees." So we know the great Ed Hockley lived in Phoenix. So no Cardinals home games for him. And we know the great Mike Carey lived in San Diego. So no Chargers home games for Mike Carey. Yet here we have Gary Cavalletto. And I never heard the name of Gary Cavalletto, but I know it's ingrained in my brain now because he was the side judge who probably had the best chance to make that call. And now we find out that he lives in Santa Barbara. Big deal, maybe, maybe not. Patrick Turner, who was the down judge, whose job it was to follow Tommy Lee Lewis all the way out of the backfield down the sideline. He could have thrown that flag. He lives in Lakewood, which isn't that far from Inglewood, where the Rams are going to have their permanent home. The back judge on that play, Todd Prokop, could have pulled his flag. He lives in Mission Viejo. And, of course, the head referee, Bill Vinovich, lives in Mission Viejo. I'm sorry, in Newport Beach. And he probably couldn't have made that call. He was just too far away from it. But there were three right in the general vicinity. And do I think any of the three actually failed to reach for his flag because he lived in Southern California? I doubt it. But then
again, you can't say that, then it blows it up out of the water after that point.
Okay, but then I stop and I think, wait a second. This is one of the top-rated crews in the National Football League. So how could three people who all live in Southern California miss the most blatantly obvious call in the history of a championship game to decide who gets to go to the Super Bowl? And it makes me wonder. And if I even wonder, if I stop and wonder for 1 second, then something is really wrong here. And I realize the NFL went out of its way to try to appease Saints fans by fining Roby Coleman for the helmet-to-helmet, mm-hmm. and then it was reported that Commissioner Goodell called Sean Payton. I don't know what he said to him, but at least he called him instead of issuing a public, any sort of statement, let alone an apology. Yet, in the end, for me, just the mere hint of impropriety that four of these referees live in Southern California has just made the worst call in sports history feel even worse, look even worse. And I know what you think about this, but again, you have to admit that this is just insult to the injury that was Saints not going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm gonna work backwards. You said this is the best, these were the highest mm-hmm. rated officials. Am mm-hmm. I correct?
Sure.
So because they're the highest rated officials, they get preferential treatment as to what? Playoff games, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you could have assigned this crew to New England, Kansas City, and nobody would have said a word, right?
How do we know? So how do we know those other guys weren't from... So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. I've lived here for 25 years. The Rams up and move here. Am I supposed to move too?
No, but you shouldn't be assigned to their championship game.
They didn't assign... Skip, here's the thing. I rated the highest, which mm-hmm. means I'm the best.
Mm-hmm.
So what? You let somebody bypass me because I'm the best?
No, you just send the crew to New England, Kansas City. It's very simply done.
How do we know? How do we know nobody from New England, Kansas City games, not from Kansas City? Well,
they weren't. And by the way, nobody refereeing this upcoming Super Bowl has any roots in Southern California or Massachusetts, so we're good there.
So what if my mama's from Massachusetts? What if my brother lives in Massachusetts?
Well, it's just there's one thing to have that because you probably could never eliminate all that. But do you live near the team?
So another
because if you live near the team, you're going to get more bombarded with the coverage of said team.
So now, well, hold on, Skip. So this is so I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correct. Is this the first time officials that have lived in a city or close proximity to a city have officiated an NFL game in which the team from that city mm-hmm. has played? Is
I'm
this
sure
the first
it's
time?
Not, but this was the worst blown call in sports history.
I still
and
think
four of them are from Southern California.
I think Donnie
Shannon,
Durkin.
It looks bad.
Oh, Skip. But so now you just said you don't think. But then you turn it around and says, look bad. But how about this here? So in order for your theory and people that believe this theory for that to be true, mm-hmm. these officials are going to have to get together and say there's going to come a chance. There's going to come a time. Probably the fourth quarter, Jen. And it's going to probably be around 2 minutes. I need it to be under 2 minutes because it needs to have the dramatic effect. It needs to have the impact. Because if we throw the flag in the first, second, or third quarter, or if we throw it at the beginning of the fourth quarter, it's not going to have the same impact. So I'm going to need it to be about 2 minutes left in the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to need it to be close so I can say it could be a bang, bang play. And I'm going to refuse to throw my flag, even though it's going to be an egregious mm-hmm. non-call.
Yep.
So is that what you're saying? Is that what you believe happened?
This was, as you just said, a top-rated crew. So I'm going to have to guess, I'm going to have to assume that they have high football IQs. So how am I to know or not know that they weren't processing quickly and just deep down, deep in their psyche, that all four of them reached and then thought,
Skip,
it's the Rams.
Skip,
it's
you saw something Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
You saw Eric Gordon take the ball out of bounds. He threw it to P.J. Tucker. What did P.J. Tucker do, Skip? So he thought, he said, you know what, guys? They're going to be a play in the game in which Eric Gordon is going to throw me the ball. Now, I should get the ball, but I'm going to let it bounce around on the floor, and I'm going to let the guy pick it up. So what happened, Skip? Was he trying to blow the game?
How could you compare something that happened between the Rockets and the Knicks
I'm saying
in
because,
January? I mean, it's just nothing. He just had a glitch.
Yeah. That's my point.
So, wait,
the human element.
All four had a glitch at the same flashpoint moment that decided the Super Bowl team, and they're on the top-rated crew, one of the two top-rated crews in football.
I want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. So some of the greatest players, so Bill Buckner, mm-hmm. who is a great player,
mm-hmm.
he just let the ball go through his legs.
Okay, that's physical as well as mental, right?
Magic Johnson dribbling the time out on the clock.
Sure.
What was that? Magic Johnson, he didn't deserve to be there.
What if all four Lakers on the court each had the ball and they all dribbled it out?
Skip. Uh-huh. The fact of the matter is you want to take the human element out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, what should have happened, Cam Jordan should have had a shirt on that says, make plays instead of excuses.
Mm.
Because what if he said, you know what? Man, if we ever get a 13-point lead in this building with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, it's over. Oh, wait a minute. That's exactly what they had. A 13-point lead at home with Drew Brees.
They did.
Hold on. Who had the ball first in overtime?
They did. But what? Shannon Sharpe, one more time. Oh. What happens if that call gets made correctly? What happens?
We don't never know.
Well, I know it's a 99% chance.
What happens if Seattle runs the football?
Why are we changing the subject from this
You
moment?
Keep doing what ifs.
Okay, not doing a what if. I just gave you 99% sure Saints are going.
I'm giving
And it's probably 99.9.
I'm saying the human element. And I don't believe this is the worst call. I still believe Donnie Durkinger was the worst because because it cost St. Louis a Super Bowl. This would have given – who's to say that the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl? I think winning the World Series.
I don't know. Okay. That's true. Well, I already picked New England, so I think they wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. But did they deserve to go? Yes, they did.
Skip, the guy made a mistake.
Well, it's possible at least three guys made a mistake.
So
right?
Okay. I don't believe the referee is never going to throw a flag on the sideline. He's responsible for what's going on at the line and in the backfield. He's watching the quarterback and the line.
I would agree.
So
it's
he's just too
far away. So even if his instinct told him, from what he saw, that looked like a blatant non-call.
Right, because that's why they have officials on the field. You don't want back judges throwing holding calls. Yep. You know what I'm saying, Skip? So everybody has an assignment, be it the umpire, the field judge, back judge, sideline, so forth and so on.
Down judge, side judge, back judge. All three got a shot at this play, right?
Right. Yeah,
okay.
They missed it, Skip.
And all three said no. And by the way, just quick point of order, because Terrell Owens was on with us Friday and said there was video of the side judge overruling the down judge.
Right.
That's not what's happening. If you see the full angle of that play, the side judge has made the call.
He says, I got it.
And he's saying, I got it. No, he's holding off. I don't know if we can see it here.
He's finna come in.
Okay. Okay, we're going to see a different angle. He's not talking to the down judge. He's talking to Sean Payton, who is running up the sidelines toward him, and he's just saying, go back, go back. I already made the call. I don't know if you can see this, but he's not.
He's basically saying bang, bang. That's what he's doing like this.
But he's signaling Sean Payton to go back because Sean Payton had run all the way out of the box.
He did.
All the way toward the play. So I don't think he's gesturing to the down
judge. I don't either.
Yeah. Okay, so he just made a call right before his very eyes. He lives in Santa Barbara, California.
And Skip, he's like, I believe he's motioning. T.O. also said that it's in the rule book that the commissioner can play. Skip, I believe that's in the rule books for extenuating circumstances. Mm-hmm. A natural disaster.
Yeah, I agree.
Inclement weather.
I mean, that's just not going to happen. It's just not realistic.
Never.
It's not logistically possible.
They're never going to replay over a blown call. Mm-hmm. No major sport is going to do that.
Nope.
Pick play up where the blown call was initiated and start playing again. That's not going to happen after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
But, Skip, I just believe that these guys, they blew it. They know they blew it. The NFL know they blew it. But let me ask you this, Skip. How long do you hold on to something when the outcome cannot be changed?
If you're Cam Jordan, through the Super Bowl, then you have to let it go.
Why let it go then? If you can't let it go after it's done happen, Skip, I get it. Maybe you'll never forget it. But to hold on to it and to let it fuel you.
Mm-hmm.
Say, you know what, guys, it's over with. We're not going to be the representative for the NFC in Super Bowl 53. But I can tell you what. Is going to drive us to make sure Super Bowl 54 that we are the NFC representative. And guess what? We're not going to let it come down to a call.
Okay. Right now, most of the NFL world is on Cam Jordan's side. So he is preaching to a huge choir right now. And I have no problem with that. In fact, I thought it was clever. And I chuckled at it. And I appreciated it.
But Cam Jordan could have done something about this.
Yeah,
Cam Jordan had a 13-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Cam Jordan when they had that 13-point lead?
Well, you can certainly make a case, but all I know is that with 1:48 left, a play happened that would have decided the game. That's all I know for sure. In a vacuum, that play
No, you
play
don't
decided.
Know that, Skip.
Yep,
you don't
I
know
did.
That, Skip.
I
no,
did.
You don't.
Yep.
You don't know what would have occurred after that, because when Marshawn Lynch ran the ball down to the 1-yard line, Everybody assumed they're going to give it to him again. He's going to run the ball into the end zone. So for you to say at 148,
I didn't assume that.
Oh, but you were going to assume at 148, okay, they're going to win the game.
Marshawn Lynch during the regular season had tried 5 times from the 1 yard line and made it 1 out of 5 times.
So, really? So let me ask you a question.
Really? So are you sure about that?
So let me ask you a question. So Drew Brees had never faltered in the last 2 minutes of a ball game this season.
No, he did against Dallas.
Oh, really? Yeah. But you say you knew 100% they were going to win this game.
Okay.
How do you know?
Because it's first and goal at the 5, and all they need is a field goal, and they've got lots of time to run, lots of time off the clock.
So field goals are automatic now.
They could have run the clock down to, if they did it exactly right, 15 seconds. If they screwed it up a little bit, 25 seconds.
I'm asking you a question. Mm-hmm. Are field goals automatic?
Nope. But usually when they're less than extra points, pretty automatic. I'd say 99%. That's what I think. Because that New Orleans kicker is really good.
Justin Tucker missed the extra point.
Yeah, he did. It could happen. But I'll give you a 1% chance on it.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
And so there's a 99% chance, given the circumstances in a play like that, the official's going to throw the flag 99 times. This is the one time they didn't. Hmm. And not everybody want rule changes, replay the game, be able to replay non-calls. Mm-hmm. No. Leave the human element in the ball game, Skip.
Glaring. All-time bad. Bad look for the NFL. Not doing enough. Somebody's got to pay for this. After this Adam Schefter report, somebody's got to lose their job. I don't know exactly who it is.
Hold on, but Skip, Adam Schefter wrote, but see, here's the thing. He wrote his report, and then at the end of it, he says nobody associated with the Saints believe that this played a role. So why did you write the article if you don't believe this played a role in it?
I don't remember that part. They had a chance to protest earlier in the week. They saw the officiating crew, and they didn't protest. Oh, okay. So it was in pre-sight, not hindsight.
No, Adam says no one from the Saints believed this played a role. And they need to go read the morning quarterbacks, what Peter King had to write. Because he wrote a very compelling argument. Hey, he has the utmost respect for Adam Schefter. Mm-hmm. But he does. So in other words, you believe malfeasance played a role in this, Skip Bayless. Because that's what you're alleging. No.
It's the hint of it. It's everything the NFL has fought to eliminate. It fell through the cracks. This one fell through the cracks. It's the championship game. How can the NFL let that fall through the cracks?
Anytime you get a bad call, what do you think they thought when somebody threw that, when they threw that flag on Chris Jones? Anytime on a fan base.
I know what I thought. I thought Edelman got interfered with at the same time. He got tackled on the play.
You see what you did right there?
Yeah.
So there was a holding call earlier. What if there's a holding call on the same play?
Okay.
See, you can't do that.
Yes, you can. If you get down to the flash point that decides the game, then I can definitively say that blatantly missed call decided who went to the Super Bowl.
No,
I can say that.
But all I said is that Chris Jones hit Tom Brady in the shoulder pad. You said Julian Edelman.
It happened at the same time.
So now do I get to go back and look at the offensive line and see if they were holding on the play that he got interfered with?
But there was a whole lot of football left to be played in that game.
You keep changing. You can't change it. You want to just look at what you see.
What did I tell you last Monday?
What?
They need to go in with 2 minutes or less left, or all of overtime. Any downfield call that could or could not involve pass interference, you got to take a quick look at it. Because this one would have been, you know it and I know it, this one would have been overturned in a heartbeat.
Right.
Everybody in the viewing audience took one replay look and said, they missed it.
So
you don't think the NFL could have taken one replay look and said, let's get this right.
In the last 2 minutes, do I get to look at holding, offensive holding?
I just said downfield ball.
Why got to be downfield?
Because now
you want to punish the defense again.
They're glaring. But what did I
so
tell you?
So holding is not glaring?
What is the most drastic penalty in pro football? It's pass interference because of the distance involved in the play, right? So those are the ones. Again, you can open all the whole Pandora's box. I'm just saying let's get those right first, and then we'll be better.
How about this here, Skip? What if in order for you to throw the ball down the field, your offensive lineman had to hold to give your quarterback an opportunity to throw the ball down the field? So how is that more of a glaring play than what just happened?
Well, it's just it's more obvious what happens down the field. It's more replayable, reviewable, where I can look at it and say, aha, they missed that call.
Skip, you've seen plays where you've seen the guy obviously get held, and you said, that's a holding call.
I have. You're right about that. I just don't want to open all the Pandora's box. I want to fix the most obvious.
Well, if you don't want one snake out of the box, keep it closed.
Yeah, but this is the biggest snake. I want to cut the head off the biggest snake.
No.
Yep.
Skip, human element. Mm-hmm. The human element's always going to come in. It's not perfect.
You sound like Jerry Jones.
No, Skip, but I'm a realist.
You know, we're still talking about it a week later, so I guess it sells the NFL. But this is the one where, you know, the old thing about any publicity is good publicity. I don't think this is good
publicity.
The
NFL ain't talking about it. NFL said, we died in Atlanta. Yeah. If you died in Atlanta, we welcome to talk about you.
Yeah.
So Rams and Patriots, we talking about you. If you not died in Atlanta, why are you talking?
Yep. I'm sure Commissioner Goodell will be asked about this on Wednesday, and he will
say, see him. He probably
we will take a look at this at our competition committee.
I'm sure I'm going to be able to see him because I know where he's staying.
Yeah?
Yep.
You're going to hang out on Saturday with him? Or
I might.
You have a couple things to say? Or?
Hey, Coach, I'm Commissioner doing a great job.
Yeah,
that's what contrary to what Skip Bayless say, you're doing a great job.
Trying to get him on your side? Interesting.
All right.
600,000 people, guys, signed a petition to have the game replayed. This is not going away anytime soon, this controversy.
I tell you what's not coming back anytime soon, that game.
It might not come back, but it doesn't mean the people aren't going to be talking about it and upset about it.
And I'm going to say one more time, I am not saying the Rams aren't a worthy Super Bowl team, because they are.
Exactly.
I got no problem with that. I just have a problem with the game got decided. I'm not even sure the Saints are better than the Rams. The game was in their building where they haven't lost under Peyton and Breeze.
Playoffs.
And so the Rams, they pulled it off. Good for them, and they will be a worthy opponent for the New England Patriots.
Yes.
Okay. That's all I know.
That's all we know for right now.
All I know is this Rams.
Yeah. You got them?
Maybe.
How many cases do you got them by?
We gonna see. Skip, we got
not yet.
Time.
We got all we can
got
talk about it.
With no mercy.
Well, the Lakers snapped their 3-game losing streak by beating the lowly Suns last night, but once again, they had to do it without LeBron. He's still out with a strained groin, and LA is now 6-10 without him in the lineup. LeBron has been out since Christmas, and although he started full contact practice on Saturday, there are reports that he could miss another 2 weeks. We're joined by NBA champ Matt Barnes. Mm. Matt, what is going on with LeBron?
I just think it's precautionary. You know, he's a little older. Groin injuries are tricky. You know, Shannon can contest to that. You can't really tell if you're 100% healthy until you actually go 100%.
Okay.
And you're kind of a little hesitant to do that.
Did you have a bad one?
I had one in high school with football, and I was a lot younger, but still, I didn't really know if I was ready until I was actually out there and able to go 100%. But really, it's still early. You know, it's late January. They're going into break. You know, I think he needs to get all the rest he possibly can and be ready for this stretch run.
Hmm. What would he say? Cautionary. Make sure you're 100% when you come back.
Have you adjusted your timetable again?
No.
Because you've adjusted about four
have.
Times.
Okay. Yeah. Here's the thing. I told you you're going to miss a month, but I did think he would be back. I thought he would have been back against the Timberwolves.
Oh, that's a ways back.
Yeah, that was Thursday.
Oh.
And he didn't come back against the Timberwolves. I was like, you said all along it was going to be Phoenix.
Well, I just thought it was an easy.
We'll do easy. We make it difficult.
You don't do easy?
Yeah, we might come back against Golden State and let
y'all
know.
Go on the road?
Yeah, take the show on the road. That's what we do. That's how we do our thing. Take it on the road.
Really?
Let everybody see this. But Skip, look. Matt is absolutely right. Skip, as you get older, you don't recover as easily as you once did. Well, we don't know what's his recovery time because we've never seen him injured.
Right.
So it's hard to say, well, he had a calf strain in 2005 and he took 6 days, or he had a hamstring in 2010 and he took 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So we really don't know. He took a back and then he went away, went to Miami, you know, laid on the beach. Him and Savannah was talking about, like, I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna do this thing right. So with that being said, Skip, look, I'm going to say Thursday.
You're pushing back?
I thought about him coming back against
that's the Clippers.
Clippers.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's a home game.
Yeah.
Get another day or two, a full contact, air that thing out, come back, drop a triple-double on the Clippers, and we off and running. Off and running.
Clippers are the team you are now chasing for that eight
spot.
Yeah,
we don't chase nobody.
Doesn't matter.
Here's the thing. Yeah. We're right now in the ninth spot.
Yeah.
We're 5 games from the 3 spot.
Mm-hmm.
A good week of winning. A good 2 weeks of playing solid basketball, we in the front.
Really?
They in the back.
So you in the front of what? Like the whole West?
In the third seed.
Oh, in the third seed, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to pin you down here.
Third seed.
You're a moving target.
No, third seed. I mean, look, Golden State, we don't talk about them because they don't need to be talked about.
Okay.
The Nuggets, they're doing their thing right here because Jokic, he needs to be in the MVP conversation too. But everybody.
No, he doesn't.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
OKC, because we know what? Because we know Russ going to, you know, Paul George start getting some of that limelight. Russ going to get a little disappointed.
I don't think he is. I think he's loving it.
But then why he keeps shooting 5 of 20?
Because Russ keeps taking, I mean, Paul George keeps taking him off the hook when he shoots 5 for 20.
5 of 20, 9 of 32.
Now he's getting those Jason Kidd triple doubles. 13, 13, and 13, right?
Yeah. On 5 of 20 shooting.
Yeah, 5 of 20.
But he'll be back Thursday, Skip.
Yeah.
And guess
Should
what?
I book that? Should I? That's a done deal.
Thursday? Well, I better have to reach out to him and see what
inside
he says.
Really? Close to
because if he misses Thursday, then all of a sudden it goes at Golden State, at Indiana, which isn't quite as tough without Oladipo, but at Boston, at Philly, and then at Atlanta before the break.
Yeah.
So is seven games away.
Yeah. Is it possible he just says,
now we're going to miss all those.
Let's do precautionary all the way to the All-Star break? Is that possible?
Well, we can't do that, Skip, and play in the All-Star game. We can't miss all these games and play in the All-Star game.
That's exactly true. So I was wondering if it would be more safe to sit it out until the All-Star game. But then, you know, if he happens to want to play or play in that game.
Yeah, he got to get the fans.
He's going to get eaten up alive.
And so you know, he liked to show up in front of Jordan. You know who on the Bobcats. You know where this game is being played. Try to get us
an
MVP.
That's a good point, though.
Yeah.
Well, maybe at 34? 16th year, maybe he needs to be so precautionary he just waits until after the All-Star game.
I think that would be great, but I don't think he will. I think that would be the smarter move, but I don't think he will. But
so
I'm sure
risk yourself for an All-Star game, but not for your Lakers,
I don't think
right?
he's managed. I don't think he's risking anything. I know if LeBron plays in any game, he's going to be ready, you know. And I think what we're missing also is this time off has really been able to heal the rest of his body and allow the rest of his body to relax and his motor to reset and get ready for this final push.
Okay, but I thought he was Iron Man, so I set his bar way up here.
Yeah, no.
I set his bar ahead of, above Jordan.
You make it seem like he AC Green. He had never missed any games. He's missed games before.
Okay, a few here and there.
Yeah.
He had to refuel down in Miami.
I don't know.
I didn't try to do anything.
He
did it.
I know what you're trying to do, Skip Bayless. But you know what?
Okay.
Matt and I are not going to even entertain that because we know what you tried to do.
What threw me off, and I'm going to refer to it one more time, is he injured his groin December 25th at Golden State, and then December 26th, after the MRI, he tweeted, dodged a bullet, hashtag back in no time. Well, does that mean a month or does that mean 2 weeks? I took it from him to mean 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a strain. I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's his first, so he was unsure. He had no idea what was about to hit him. Maybe the rehab process just drags on because, to your point, you go out and do, they said he's been doing defensive drills. I'm not sure what those are, but maybe
shuffling
it's not.
Side to side, you know, just
maybe
with you.
Maybe
no.
It's still tweaking a little
yeah.
bit.
No.
It's also possible he pushed it too hard and he pulled it. It's possible, and we just don't know because they haven't said anything.
Right.
But what threw me off again was what happened on January the 16th. What are we up to now? The 26th? 28th. So that's a couple of weeks ago almost. Rich Paul, his agent, went on a national media tour on that day. Remember, talked to our Chris Broussard.
Oh, sure.
But he talked to everybody, and he was driving home the point, we listen to nobody. And he got angry when he talked to
the
Athletic. He said, I'm going to quote him again, we don't give a you-know-what nobody thinks or says. Well, that sounded like somebody in charge with the Lakers had pushed a little bit, like, don't you think it's time to come back? And it smacked a little bit, just a little bit of what went on last year in San Antonio when the doctors medically cleared number two in San Antonio to come back in probably mid-January. And he kept saying, nope, still hurt. And he was hurt the whole rest of the year. Really? You're still hurt?
Yeah.
Well, the doctors cleared you. That's a conservative medical staff there. I'm not sure about what the Lakers staff is. So it's possible the Lakers staff cleared him on January the 15th, and they just said, no way. You know, like they felt like they were being pushed.
I just think in sports, oftentimes, you know, team doctors, team this, team that, like, you know your body better than anything. So too often, team doctors say, hey, it's okay, and then they'll go out and re-aggravate or re-injure something. So I think someone such as LeBron, someone such as Kawhi, who look what he did. He sat all last year. They weren't going to win a championship, and he's playing amazing this year.
Well, he's still sitting a lot this year.
Well, I mean, that's okay because I think they understand it's a marathon, not a sprint, and they have a real chance to capture that Eastern Conference, you know, fighting with Boston and Philly, obviously. But I think that, you know, like I said, if LeBron comes back, he's going to be ready. Again, groins are one of the most tricky injuries in sports. You, like I said, you can't tell. You can't do no half.
Any sudden movement to the left or to the right, and here we go again. Yeah.
And you can't get that real game time experience in practice. So, like I said, until he gets back on the court and is able to, you know, that first time he catches the ball off a rebound and pushes it at LeBron's pace, that's when he's going to really know if it's time to go. But I would err on the side of caution, obviously, with he's a little older, and he means so much to this team.
So the West has finally sort of separated itself, and now you can see what's about to happen, because I thought maybe the Timberwolves would make a move, and apparently they're just not capable.
No.
For whatever reason, they're not capable. And I thought Dallas was dangerous, but Doncic is still a kid, and
he
only
did
so much. He's unbelievable, but he can only he had the big triple double last night, and they lost to Toronto. Okay,
lost to Kawhi. 33.
Yeah, and what did number two do at Houston the other night?
He had 33 again.
Oh, did he? And who took the last shot in that game?
He missed the last shot, so it doesn't matter. So
He hit nothing but net with that shot, bottom of the net.
I think Kobe did that a few times in Utah during the playoffs when he first started becoming that takeover. You know what I mean? So that an air ball means nothing. And he's the type of guy, I hope he would, you know, obviously shoot the exact same shot next time.
Guess who guarded him? Guess who really forced him into a bad shot? It was James Harden. You picked the wrong night to bet against James Harden.
Oh, so in other words, on the last second shot, you want James Harden guarding anybody that has the ball.
No,
exactly.
Wrong. And remember, number two had taken four games off to get ready to guard that guy.
He didn't really guard him. Danny Green took him most of the night. Siakam took him. Ananobi took him.
Those guys are good.
But they're not Kawhi.
It's hard to get one-on-one matchups anymore with the way screens are set.
Yeah,
and you're going to get the best defender off the best player all the time. So it's hard.
Yep.
But, you know, when you break it down, like what Clay did to Kyrie the other day, when they broke down his numbers, he guarded him great. You know what I mean? So I'm sure if they broke down the numbers when Kawhi actually guarded him, it would probably be a different story than the overall picture.
So now you got to catch the Clippers. Clippers aren't bad, I got to say.
The Clippers are good. I mean, Lou Williams getting triple dubs late in his career. But Skip, we got the guy.
Yep.
The Cape Crusader.
Well, do you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that.
Oh, when did he come out with that bat belt on?
Really? Well,
he got that bat belt.
He's got tools on
yep.
it? Yeah. I thought he was like supernatural.
No.
Batman's not.
He got a bat belt.
Really?
Batman really theoretically is not a superhero because
he
has no powers. It's all in his belt.
That's what
and that's what I keep telling you about LeBron. But it's in them shorts. Them Laker shorts.
Really?
There's so much to it.
I thought it was vibranium. That's what you told
me. Father Time's undefeated though,
right?
Man. Father Time.
We're gonna hold him, but we got it though. We just gotta go get that reserve.
Yeah.
But good.
Okay, we're gonna stay talking about the Lakers, guys, but we're gonna switch gears a bit. How hot is Luke Walton's hot seat?
Oh, man.
We'll discuss everything that's going on there next.
No mercy.
The Lakers are struggling without LeBron and are currently out of the playoffs. This is leading to speculation about Luke Walton's future. ESPN reports there's, quote, a lot of tension in that building, and added that LeBron does not want Walton out as head coach, but his camp would prefer a change. We're joined once again by Matt Barnes. So, Matt, what do you make of all this?
That's tough. Camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Normally a camp shouldn't have a voice in an organization, but when that camp one of the people in that camp is the agent of Anthony Davis. You know, the camp has a voice. It's an unfortunate situation. You know, knowing Luke, playing with Luke, he's a great basketball mind. But I think he knew stepping into this Laker chair, but I call it the hot seat from the jump. You're going to be scrutinized every single day. The best is never good enough. And, you know, at any given time, it could be your day. So it's an unfortunate. I really hope that, you know, he gets a chance to continue to develop this team. If they pick up a big free agent, get to continue to coach that and just give him a chance. I think too often we expect magic in a bottle to happen that fast, and sports isn't that way anymore.
Yeah. Have you heard anything from any – you keep in touch with a lot of the current players.
I've heard – yeah, outside of the camp, not necessarily from the players. You know, I haven't heard anything from the players, and like I said, I haven't heard anything from, you know, LeBron's mouth per se that I have a problem with Luke. Like I said, I've for about 2 months now, I've heard LeBron's camp has not wanted Luke there still. And like I said, normally they wouldn't have a voice, but in this for this instance, they do have a voice from the standpoint of the connections they have.
Well, that voice is going to get louder because of the Anthony Davis connection. But the one thing that Luke Walton has in his corner, he has Jenny Buss camp in his corner.
They're very big.
So it's been reported that Magic would like to see someone else coach this team.
Yep.
But Jenny Buss gave him the Heisman polls and stiff armed that idea. So at the end of the day, Skip Bayless, you know, there are a lot of camps, and I want him out and I want him back. But the lady's name that's on the check, she trumps everybody. Now, it's going to come a time where I'm sure Magic and Rob Pelinka is going to go upstairs and they say, Jenny, in order for us to get Anthony Davis, this is what's going to have to happen.
Yep.
Because what transpired is that it came to know that they could have had Boogie Cousins for Brandon Ingram. And once Jenny, hold on, Jenny, so what, we could have Boogie for Brandon? And y'all said no. Oh, you got to go. I don't think Jenny's going to make that mistake. You got a chance to get Anthony Davis. And the trade-off is the head coach got to go. Well, who else does he want to go? You want the janitors to go. You want the cheerleaders to go. Because if you want that, if we can get Anthony, that's generational talent. The guy's 29, 13, 29, 14, 4.5, 2. And he's 25.
How old is he?
25.
Oh, he's a baby.
25.
26 in March.
25, Skip. So guess what? That camp.
Talk to you later.
That camp or campfire is getting bigger.
It's getting bigger.
Yeah.
One other lady in this equation is Jackie McMullen, who reported this, who I've known forever, and she is highly respected, so I'm going to take this to my personal bank.
Absolutely.
There's something going on here where there's lots of smoke. There's a, at least a little bit of fire that's getting bigger and bigger. And obviously, Magic didn't hire Luke. Obviously, LeBron didn't choose Luke because Luke was just already there when LeBron chose Magic and L.A. and the Lakers. That's what he chose. And if his camp is not happy, then I'm going to have to believe LeBron is not happy, not completely sold on Luke. And I don't know why, but I've said from, again, I'm a Lonzo fan. Lonzo has never clicked with Luke, and I don't know that that factors into this equation, but it's always been an uneasy sort of coexistence between Lonzo and Luke. Now, whether Lonzo would be part of a trade that would send him to New Orleans, highly possible. But it hasn't been roses with Luke from the start here. And I go right back to moment number one between Magic and LeBron when he knocked on LeBron's door up in Brentwood, not too far from here. He was not accompanied by his head coach. And in other circumstances, he would be accompanied by his head coach because that would be a big part of the equation. Well, I got it.
Skip, you know how it is. Come alone.
Come alone.
And if I'm a CI, if I'm a confidential informant, and I tell you I got some information, but come alone.
First of all, I'm not talking to you, but go ahead.
So guess what? Magic smart. He was out there an hour early. Magic said he was sitting in the driveway an hour early.
Stretching.
But in other circumstances, you know and I know, if it's Greg Popovich, you know, he's going to be in attendance.
I tell you what, if LeBron James said, Greg, I want you to come. I want you to come to my Beverly Hills. I want you to come to my Brentwood estate. And I want you to be alone. I don't want R.C. Buford with you. R.C. Buford ain't coming. Anthony Davis says, I want Danny Ainge. If these power brokers, and that's what LeBron James, and that's what these Anthony Davis, that's what they are. If they say come alone, I'm driving. I ain't even getting Uber. Because I don't even want them to know where I'm going. I'm driving.
But if you're doing the Boston example, you know Brad Stevens, he's going to be there for the long haul.
If Anthony Davis say, I tell you what, Danny Ainge, I want you to come alone. What you think the chances of Brad Stevens going to be in that meeting?
I'm just saying, Danny Ainge loves Brad Stevens.
Yeah, he don't love
him. That is true.
But then another standpoint, too, I mean, has it ever been like a great situation for LeBron and whoever his coach has been?
No.
You know what I mean?
So I know what happened to David Blatt.
Yeah,
he deserved it.
The situation may be. Like, we don't really know the inside stories of anyone's, but to me, like, the coach is kind of just whipped cream in any LeBron situation. He's never really the cake. You know what I mean? So, like I said, Magic is, you know, the overall force seer. But like you said, he has Genie in his corner, so that bodes well. But you just never know. Like I said, if Anthony Davis is only going to come if Luke is gone, well, then unfortunately, I think Luke is a casualty of war.
Yes.
He would be. And remember Ty Lue during the playoffs last year, that one time that he was asked, how would you describe what it's like to coach LeBron? And he just dropped his head for a second and just shook it like, it wears you out. More. It's a hard job.
Skip, because here's the thing. Unless you're Popovich, unless you're Phil Jackson or Pat Riley, LeBron's going to think he knows just as much, if not more, than any other coach.
Because he does.
So
he
with does. That big, so who can coach him that's going to be on an equal footing? Steve Kerr, maybe?
Plus, you know, he is the drama king because he's fueled by all the drama around him. He creates drama because it propels him. Doesn't propel the head
coach. But then also sometimes, too, like I said, I think LeBron gets heat for what his camp says or does. And those are grown men and making their own business moves. You know, they might have to check in here and there. But for the most part, those are grown men. So I think sometimes he takes some unfair heat for his camp.
Okay, but his camp he grew up with. You know, like that's unusual.
There's no question, like I said, but they're still grown.
It's not like you hired these guys later in your career. They're part of you,
yeah, I ain't got
right?
No camp.
Huh?
I ain't got no camp.
You got no camp?
No camp.
You told me you got, what's his name?
Bucket.
Bucket.
Man, Bucket don't speak for me. Huh? Bucket be talking crazy.
Really?
No, I speak for me.
He told me last night that you were in trouble today.
No.
That's what he told me.
My sister won't even speak.
Really?
Sterling don't speak. We don't speak for one another.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, I think camp equals LeBron.
Yeah, you know what? I knew you was going to try. See, that's what you do, Skip.
Well, it just does.
Now, this man just sat here and told you. He says he's heard it for months. Not from LeBron per se. And a lot of people have been around this situation said not LeBron, but it's camp.
But LeBron likes the camp to plant seeds so that when it happens, it doesn't seem so bad, you know.
LeBron James is not Anthony Davis's agent. Now, this is what I'm willing to do. Hey,
imagine, you know, I got a 25-year-old, 6'10" guy. He really wants to play for the Lakers. I mean, he loves it. He loves L.A. He has a home in L.A. And he really like to play for you. But the coach, I'm just going to leave that. You do what you want.
I think this man summed it up. Casualty of war.
That's it. Genie.
He's a great guy, and he's great a smart guy.
And you know Magic going there with that $1 million smile. You know Magic going there, Genie. You know me, you go way back now. You know your dad, he's like a father to me. Mm. He would not let this pass.
Now, who would LeBron want to be the head coach? That's the key.
Yeah.
Player. I mean, the only guy, Brian Shaw is the only guy there.
So that's, I like Brian Shaw. That's just me. That you know Brian well?
I know Brian, yeah.
So that's his only guy there. So what, you'll have a guy for 1 year? Who could
player coach, Bill Russell type stuff? Player coach?
LeBron?
Ooh,
yeah. No.
I like
no.
that.
Can you imagine?
So, I like it.
But let me ask you a question. Who do you think LeBron, who could they get that LeBron's going to respect and says, okay, do your thing?
I think there's guys he'll respect. I think there's very few that could probably teach him something. Mm-hmm. You know, like he hit on very few. I mean, he played with Luke.
Right.
He played against Luke. You know,
they came in the same draft.
You know what I mean? So it's tough to – I think sometimes Luke gets a nasty rap and doesn't get respect because guys have played with him and may say whatever about his playing style, but his basketball mind is something special. I've been around it. I've heard it. I remember him and Phil used to talk a lot when we played together with the Lakers. They were on the same page. So Luke's got a great basketball mind, but like I said, you know.
I can see that. Because you know what? I got guys that I played college ball with that are dentists and they pilots.
Great basketball.
If I see them in the captain's chair, I ain't getting on that plane.
Okay.
You're not?
No, sir.
Don't throw any of those guys around the bus.
Oh, no. The dentist? You think I'm going to go to them letting them work on my mouth?
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts. Sports. One of one. Of one.